Lord Jesus, work your resurrection deeper and deeper into our hearts and lives today. Use my words, may they be yours, and show us what it means to live out your life in us. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You may be seated. So today, we gather in such great celebration, pull out all the stops, sing loudly, proclaim joyously, and while I'm thinking about it, by the way, so many hands and so many people do so many things to make this day special, and just, let's just thank everybody, musicians, decorators, all sorts of, thank you all. Yeah, people who order these flowers, decorate, take all the meal, all sorts of things. And we do that because it is a special day. And everything when we say he is risen, and all the we seem so confident and so bold and so certain. But I don't know if you caught it when we read the reading from John a moment ago. You read those first Easter accounts, those aren't the first reactions of the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. In fact, their first feelings were confusion and death. Confusion because they knew of the death. So first confusion. On that first resurrection day, first Easter, Mary and other women go to the tomb just as light is breaking because they want to go anoint Jesus' dead and decaying body. And when they got there, first confusion, the very heavy stone was already rolled away. They were thinking, how are we going to do this? And it's already rolled away, and they look in, and it's empty. Confusion. Now, a word on first century tombs, they're caves dug out and then sealed by a big stone that's really thin, kind of like a giant wheel of cheese that you kind of, or a maybe better analogy is a Chicago-style pizza. Giant, you know, stone like that size, a wheel in front. Very, very heavy. They go there, and it's empty. Confusion. And then they run back and get the other disciples, and they run to try to figure it out. Now, this we read from John, and all the gospel writers tell the story a little differently. If you read Luke, he just comes out and tells you they're confused. He just says it. Mary's confused, and then they go back, and they see then there's the race to the tomb, and those other two come, and Luke even tells them that when they see the angels, they're frightened. But the angels are the ones that say, he's not here, he has risen. And even then it says they're confused. And the disciples, they don't believe them. Luke says it sounded like nonsense to them. You see, on the first Easter, there was a lot of confusion because what they knew was death. Jesus was dead. They had invested their whole being into him, leaving career and family for some to follow, and then his stock is tanking like a bowling ball in a swimming pool. They thought they would ride on his coattails to greatness, to power, to success, and now he was dead. Not accidentally killed, not even heroically killed, but humiliated, stripped, treated like a criminal, treated like an animal, executed Roman style, crucifixion on Friday, dead. They had no idea now what they were going to do with their lives. If you're here today, I'm guessing that you may have felt some of these feelings throughout your life, or maybe you're in them now, like the disciples. Confusion because of the pain of death. Confusion, maybe you're just not sure at all about this whole Jesus thing. Maybe you've had some really bad experiences with people who call themselves Christians, or maybe even with the church. And if that's true, hear it from me, we're sorry. Or maybe you just say, you know, I kind of like Jesus, but I'm just not sure. And if that's you, I'm glad you're here. I really am. And I think it's important for you to see those of us that do believe in the resurrection to worship Jesus and to show that and worship passionately today. If we Christians that believe this can't get excited on Easter, well, we got bigger issues then. Or maybe you just feel lost lately in life. Or you wonder, does God care about me and what I'm going through? I'm guessing maybe you have been through a time in your life when you felt confused either about yourself or about God or about both. that describes you now or a season you've been through, you are in very good company. Confusion. And death. Death, it's all around us. There are so many big ways. Obviously, physical death is so very painful to grieve, but there's so many other ways we experience. It's all around us, and we can't get away from it. We had a terrible reminder this week in the attacks in Belgium, but maybe it's more personal to you when the other side of the bed is no longer warmed by your spouse. Or maybe you're physically exhausted from taking care of a special needs family member. Or maybe your divorce felt worse than death. Or maybe it was coming to the realization that some of your life dreams and life goals just won't happen. Or maybe slowly losing a family member to Alzheimer's feels like death even though they're still alive. Or maybe it was when we felt so embarrassed that you lost your dignity and respect. Maybe it was your miscarriage. Or feeling betrayed by a friend, or battling depression, or not getting into that job or that school or that program, or changing your job or schools or moving. All sorts of things can feel like death to us in big ways and in small ways. And on that first Easter, there was a lot of that. Confusion and death, but Jesus brings something different. Jesus brings clarity, and Jesus brings life. Jesus' resurrection brought clarity to the disciples' confusion, and to you, Jesus brings clarity to yours. Now, the women and the disciples, that doesn't mean they perfectly understood everything once they looked into the tomb and figured out. No, of course not. But they knew they saw Jesus dead. They saw him die, and now he is very much alive. They touched him, they held him, they hugged him, they ate with him. And suddenly they started to remember these things that he said. He said, I will suffer and I will die and I will rise for you because of how much I love you. And the scriptures, they found out, are fulfilled, and the deepest longing of your heart is met because Jesus brought clarity. And for you, when you trust in Jesus, when we trust in Jesus, when you put your hope in him, when you believe in his resurrection, Jesus begins to bring clarity where you had confusion. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that all of a sudden everything is perfect. Everything makes sense. No questions, no problems. No, not that at all. But Jesus begins to give you new eyes to see the world, and gives you a new identity based on what he has done for you, and a new heart to trust him. John Newton was a pastor in London, England, in the mid to late 1700s. He's quite famous for writing the hymn, Amazing Grace. But his life tells us about confusion and clarity. For many years, he was a captain on slave trading ships throughout the British Empire, participating in the brutality of trafficking people. After trusting in Jesus, he got out of that. He became an Anglican priest, a hymn writer, and an ardent abolitionist, and friend of William Wilberforce, who brought about the end of slave trade in Great Britain. He wrote the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Some of you know the rest of this. Was blind, but now I see. Well, the odd thing about John Newton was that he went physically blind late in life. So when a man like this writes words like this, they mean something. When his body and his eyes could not see anymore, in Jesus, his heart could see more clearly than ever. Why? Get ready for it. It's because he is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. To your confusion and death, Jesus brings clarity and life. Life. Here is a rather obvious point. It's so obvious you might miss it. About life and death. But what kinds of things rise from the dead? Good. Dead things. Yes. Yeah, the first service had a little trouble. You're a little more awake. That's what Jesus does to you. He doesn't want to take you. We try to say, God, you know, I'm pretty good. I got things going well. I'm alive. I'm making it. That means you don't need resurrection. Jesus takes dead things and makes them live. Death Valley, hottest place on earth, hottest recorded temperature, somewhere a little above 130 degrees. This year has been experiencing a rare surge of life. And hikers and photographers from all over have been flocking there to capture the beauty of what they call a super bloom. And that's when all the seeds and wildflowers in the area bloom at the same time, usually due to a heavier fall rain. And park rangers say this happens only about once every 10 years. One ranger said, Death Valley goes from being a valley of death to a valley of life. If you get a chance during the offering or sometime later, look it up on your phone. Look some images. It's quite beautiful. And the Death Valley Desert, bursting with vibrant color, is, to me, a wonderful picture of how Jesus has taken my sinful, parched life and breathed new life into it. But there's one difference here. Super bloom will end this year, but new life in Jesus will last forever. You see, Jesus isn't interested in taking those of us that think, hey, I'm pretty good, I'm making it. You know, I'm a pastor, I'm pretty close, I'm pretty good, and making them better. No, Jesus wants to take dead people and make them live. Jesus isn't interested in holding morality improvement classes to make you slightly better. No, Jesus wants to raise your desertous, parched, tired, dead spirit and your dead body and give you new life. Yes, Jesus wants to give you new life and new hope. Jesus wants to take broken people and make them whole. The resurrection of Jesus means that evil doesn't win. Death doesn't win. And therefore, it means that there are always new possibilities. Resurrection means that life does follow death. When you physically die, yes, even that can't separate you from God or from other Christians. One day, Jesus will raise you up, as we just sang. But resurrection also means that loneliness and depression, they will not last forever, even though in the middle of it, it feels like it. Resurrection also means that there is still hope for your stale marriage. Judy and George have been married 40 years, and the last 18 of them have been rather miserable. Cold stares, raised voices, trips taken alone, and merely a shell of a once loving marriage. Either of them would have called it death. Yet Judy knows Jesus and the power of the resurrection. And so she prayed for a resurrected marriage day after day, year after year, 18 years. Knowing them well, my wife spoke with her last month, and Judy read a card that she had received from her husband last month. Do the math, it was a Valentine's Day card from her husband of 40 years, and it said, thank you for single-handedly saving our marriage. Resurrection also means that disease and suffering and slavery and injustice in the world, they will end. God's good justice will come. Resurrection means that losing your job or your respect or your family doesn't define you, because Jesus does. And when he cries out, it is finished, he has done all things for you. And when he comes out of the tomb and we proclaim he is risen, then you know that you are a new person. You see, if you die with Jesus on Friday, you rise with him today. Why is that? Get ready. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Resurrection means that your addiction does not have to control you forever. Resurrection means that death in all of its forms will one day die, and there will be life in Jesus. So wherever you are today, whatever confusion you've been through or are in, may the resurrected Jesus bring clarity in his life and his resurrection. And whatever deaths that you've been through or going through or are painful, know that that's not the last word. Jesus comes to bring life, because He is risen. He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.